might uproot the wheat along with them. Let them grow together until harvest. Then at harvest time, I will say to the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles for burning, but gather the wheat into my barn. The Gospel of the Lord. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, if hundreds or even thousands of travelers, with genuine traveling documents, such as passports, meet at a point, with a genuine traveling document alone, such as the passports, immigration officers will be able to tell where each traveler comes from or is coming from, and where each traveler is going. If they even still want to prove further, they will be able to tell how long each traveler intends to stay at where he or she is going. Dear people of God, but among the hundreds or thousands of travelers, if the angel of the Lord or the voice from heaven who comes from God himself says, among these travelers there are some of them with evil intentions, bad thoughts, bad ideas. The traveling documents alone, such as the passport, will not be enough to tell, to help the immigration officers to say that, okay, you have bad idea. He had bad idea. That would not be possible. The immigration officers cannot also look at the facial expression of the people and say, okay, the way your face is, you are the one with the bad idea. They can also look at the way they are dressed and come to a conclusion that you have the bad idea. The sizes of the travelers will not also be able to help them, or even the blood type, the blood group, so that they look at your document and know that, okay, you are blood group AB. And they tell, well, you with this blood group, you are the man with the bad idea, or the woman with the bad idea. No, it's not possible. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the immigration officers will not be able to tell, but there is somebody who knows if indeed there are bad ideas or bad thoughts. And that person is God himself. He knows everybody. He knows you. He knows me. He knows the concerns you have come here with to present to him, because he is the one who has invited us and we are responding to his invitation. So dear brothers and sisters in Christ, because God knows the thoughts and the ideas of each and every one of us, even if God knows, which he knows, that some people don't have good ideas and they have bad or evil ideas, but God will not just command an angel to go and announce the names of all those with bad ideas, bad thoughts, on radio or television, or they should go and publish them and paste on all the notice boards wherever the travelers meet, or if we were in church here, so that they will look at our names and paste our ideas and thoughts on the walls here. But God knows. God won't do that, because he will only allow his message to come to us, so that if we listen to his message and there is somebody traveling, making the journey of life with an evil thought, an evil idea, then that person is given an opportunity, a chance to convert, and God will always accept the one who converts. So dear brothers and sisters in Christ, what we are trying to present in this situation is what Jesus has presented beautifully and clearly in the gospel passage. That a man went out to his field and sowed good seed. While everybody was asleep, an enemy went and sowed weeds among the seeds. When the good seeds germinated and began to grow, when they were about ripening, bearing fruits, the weeds also appeared. We are told the servants of the man, when they detected the weed, went and said, "Master, was it not good seed you sowed in your field? What happens and there are weeds there?" And he said, "An enemy has come to sow weeds." And then the servants went further to say, "Master, do you want us to go and uproot the weed and leave the wheat, your good seed?" And he said, "No. Allow them both to grow. Because in an attempt to pull out the wheat at the stage that they were detected, you might uproot some of the wheat too." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, this is the situation of the church Jesus has presented to us. This is the situation of the human beings on earth here. The Lord himself has presented to us. Everybody is born good, but there are some evil influence coming into our lives. Should God just clear off all the people with bad ideas without giving them the chance to repent? Will this be a loving and a caring God? Should we just say that because sometimes people come to an area here stealing people's property, anybody they catch, instant justice, so that there and then they just finish the person? If that is done, any one of us can be accused falsely and we can lose our lives. So this is the situation of the church Jesus has presented to us. The church is holy, but the church has sinful members. Because Jesus is the head of the church, and Jesus is the second person of the Holy Trinity, all holy. But we, individual members of the church, we have our limitations. We do sin sometimes. But God, who is so merciful, is giving us opportunities to repent. And anybody who sincerely repents, God will forgive the sin. God will forgive the sin. So, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, this is what comes out in our gospel passage. God will not rejoice in the death of the sinner. He wants all people to be saved. He wants all people to be saved. That's why he keeps giving every person on earth here the chance, enough opportunities to convert. And what God now wants is that he demands sincere worship from us. That we deal with one another in a very sincere way. And we also relay with him, God, sincerely, because he gives us an opportunity to convert, to repent. Because each and every one of us, there are some weeds in our hearts, and there is a lot of good in our hearts too. But you see, the worst times are not times people don't believe that God exists. The worst times are not times that people refuse to worship. Such that Sunday, no single soul will enter this house of prayer. Those will not be the worst times. The worst times are not times that the mosques are not full. People don't observe the month of Ramadan. Those are not the worst times. The worst times are times that the churches are full, the mosques are full, those sacrificing, still practicing the African traditional religion. Goats and fowls are crying everywhere. And then you see that what we celebrate is not translated into our lives. Those are the worst times. The worst times are not times that we refuse to worship or believe in God. But then people are always trooping the church. The mosques are full at dawn. They wake you up whether you want to get up or not. And people are pulling animals to the shrines and then to big stones. And they are dying and crying for their life. But then we do all these things and we don't relate with one another sincerely. There's no sincere relationship among us and between our God. Those are the worst times. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, that is why Jesus, in the gospel passage today, presents to us the situation of the church. And now, first reading, we are presented that God is all powerful. When he wills that something be done, here within twinkle of an eye, it can be done. But he governs us, as we are told in the first reading, with great leniency. And his judgment is mild. God's judgment is mild. It doesn't mean that when God is mild in his judgment, governing us with great leniency, that God is encouraging us to continue in our sin or otherwise. No. God is teaching us a lesson, we who are his sons and daughters. That he, God, who knows each and every one of us, and we cannot hide anything from him. But he's slow to anger and rich in mercy, full of compassion. He wants everybody to be saved. Therefore, we must not also be quick in judging one another. We must not be quick in judging and condemning one another. The situation that we presented, we said that the immigration officer or officers may not be able to look at your face and say, okay, brother, the way you are looking at this, you are bad thoughts, evil in your heart. No. They can't even take your blood group and say, no, you belonging to this blood group, oh, you are this and that. That would be making a very bad mistake. That is why it is not right for anybody to be quick in judgment, looking at the facial experience or where somebody comes from, or just one instance alone, and condemn a brother or sister. It is not enough. And the good news for us is that if somebody has condemned you, or is condemning you, and judging you, if that is not the case, don't be worried. Because God doesn't use human judgment as his own. God knows everything, and he would rely on human opinion to say something or do something to you. That is why on earth, yet three pair of eyes, we are told to see every one of us, each and every one of us. The first pair of eyes that see, each and every one of us is those we are living with and interacting with daily. It can be your own father and mother, your siblings, your co-workers. The people you live with and you interact with daily, they see you in some way and they have opinion about you. But what they say is not the final thing. Because they see you, but they don't see everything. They know something about you, but they don't know everything. God alone knows everything. Sometimes don't our senses even deceive us? Now you are walking and you see a mirror, you think that that's water. You get there, no water. You sit and it's like your phone is barely, you remove it, no call. Or you are talking with somebody and then you say, pardon me. It means you are listening, but you don't hear well all the time. So if people are condemning you unjustly, give everything to God. The second pair of eyes that see each and every one of us is those who don't even live and interact with that on a daily basis. They may know you from a distance. Some don't even know you, but they have heard of your name. But they also have some opinion about you. And how do they get their opinion? It's based on hearsay. Those people, they are even far away from the truth. Some of them may be true, but many of them are not true. We should not be worried about their judgment. God knows better. The third pair of eyes does see. Each and every one of us is God himself. And the way God sees is final. That's why sometimes when we sing in the song, who has the final say? Jehovah, the final say. Who has the final say?
Jehovah, the final say. He turns my life around. He turns my life around. He makes a way where there seems no way. Jehovah has the final say.
How many faces has a coin? A single, two faces, correct, or 3 points? Good. And how many faces has a die? A die to a loop? Six. Another correct for 3 points. Good. You see, the die has six faces. What many human beings do very often is just to look at one side. And the other five, we ignore them. And and we say, this is how the man is like. This is how the woman is like. If you are not like that and they are saying it, don't be worried. But if you are like that and they are saying it, God is speaking to you through your brother and sister. Do something about it. Because this is the chance God has given to you to convert, come back to him. Because he allowed the wheat to grow with the wheat till harvest time. To tell us that there is a time for judgment. That he will allow them both to grow till harvest time. It means that there is harvest time. And that time is the time of judgment. And while we are still living, if there is something true about you, do something about it. God will accept you. If there is nothing true about what people are saying, it is just that they ignore the other five sides and they see only one side. But God turns my life around. He turns your life around. And he sees every detail. That is why even on earth here, if nobody sees anything wrong with you, and then you are doing something wrong, they know that somebody is watching. Somebody sees everything. That is why when you leave home and you go somewhere and you tell your daddy is not around, your mommy is not around, your friend, close friend is not around, and you do something wrong, it's still wrong. Something is not wrong because many people have seen or it has come to the public notice. It is wrong because it is wrong in the first place. And if it is right and nobody sees it, if you are the one laboring for this church to grow and nobody is praising you, but somebody is seeing everything, he will give you your reward. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, see, sometimes society begins to look at religion and say, no, religion, for instance, the Catholic faith, that we have come to lower morals. And people can do anything and go. That is a wrong understanding of freedom in religion. Jesus has not come to teach us to be lawless, to be sinful. He has come to put us on the path to holiness. He has come to give us life to the fullest. And because he has come to do that, presenting to us a God who is lenient, who is compassionate. If somebody will say, okay, because God is compassionate, I can do this and that and run back and go. I can always intentionally do this and go back and say, God, I'm sorry. When I'm even saying it, I'm not really sorry. That would be deceiving the self. It would be like this. You take poison. You drink it. After taking your poison, a number of cups, you now start rushing to the hospital. Or you run to the clinic so that the doctors and nurses, they will now save your life. If you don't get there and you fall, who has done it? Who has done it? If you get there and now the doctor is already attending to your brother or sister and it delays a little and then you die, who has done it? You have done it. That is why Jesus says, allow them both to grow, but there will be a harvest time where I will tell the reapers, first separate the wheat and tie them in bundles to be burned and then gather into my barn. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, let us pray for the grace that Jesus will come so that we may have life and have it to the fullest. We will admit where we are wrong and enjoy the mercy and compassion of God. And where we are doing well and people don't see it, we don't get discouraged. So that our Virgin Mother Mary, who bore the seed of the word in her womb and brought her forth for our salvation, the good seed that is sown in the lives of each and every one of us at our baptism, we will also take good care of it so that it will yield a good harvest and all of us will be gathered into the barn of God, into eternal kingdom, into eternal bliss. The Lord be with you.